Welcome to the I Still Call Australia Home podcast, your fortnightly dose of inspiration and joy sparked by the wild splendour of Australia. I'm your host, Felicia Rusher, founder of IStillCallAustraliaHome.com, an e-commerce store selling gifts that spark joy and delight while using Wild Australia as their muse. I'll be taking you on the road, sharing inspiring stories of amazing Australians who are creators of products and experiences using our land, native animals and wildlife as their muse. It's the stories behind the gifts. Today, we're in the Dandenong region of Victoria, Australia, discovering how Emma Cook, founder of the Australian Natural Soap Company, is living her values by creating products that are good for your skin and great for the planet. I think it's worth mentioning here how much, here at IStillCallAustraliaHome.com, I love showcasing Native Australia in the products I sell online. It's actually the reason I started this e-commerce gift shop, because in a former career, I was travelling the world, working with senior CEOs and board members of global companies who I wanted to share something Australian with as a thank you gift. And I found it very difficult. I thought, that's weird, because here in Australia, we are so lucky to have millions of unique species of flora and fauna that we could use in food and celebrate in gifts or on gifts. I only wished to give a gift that reflected them and shared their beauty with my overseas friends. So today, with my online store, I love playing a small part in sharing just these sorts of gifts with the world, whether this be through native ingredients used in food gifts or motifs of our native animals on gifts like purses, scarves and tea towels, or even in the native ingredients of products like soaps, like in the case of the Australian Natural Soap Company, who is our guest today. I think it's really important that as a growing nation, we celebrate images of our own plants and animals and ingredients that are native to Australia and right on our doorstep. I believe using native products and seeing our own version of nature reflected around us is healthy for our bodies, good for our minds, and great for the planet. That's why I love businesses like Emma's, where she has really thought about every aspect of her business, from sourcing, production and distribution, and how she can best use what's on her doorstep to create products that are good for our skin and great for the planet. She showcases native Australian ingredients that she sources from Australian farmers and supports all sorts of industries and people by manufacturing in the Dandenong region of Victoria, Australia. I hope you enjoy her story as much as I did recording it. So sit back, relax, and enjoy listening to how Emma Cook is helping the planet and using native Australia as her muse through her company, the Australian Natural Soap Company. Hi, Emma. Welcome to the podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Lovely to have you here. For those listeners who don't know you, can you introduce the Australian Natural Soap Company and tell us about yourself and your company?
Yeah, so my name's Emma Cook and I'm the director and founder of the Australian Natural Soap Company. We've been around pretty much since 2013 and we have started off in our kitchen, my husband and I, just making soaps. He's an emergency doctor and he washes his hands a lot and just found coming home after using like the hospital grade antibacterial soaps at the hospital, then coming home and having to use, even more antibacterial soaps. He was just getting so much irritation and dry skin. We just started looking into, natural alternatives. And when we found that there really wasn't anything on the market that we were after, so what was on the market then was, a lot of soaps that were natural, but they were using things like palm oil, artificial fragrances, sulfates. We just started experimenting on our own and really started falling in love with Australian ingredients, so things like avocado oil, macadamia oil, olive oil, and just love the soaps that they were producing.
Fantastic. And where are you based, Emma?
So we're based in Melbourne. So we we manufacture still to this day all of our soaps and skincare. And so we have two manufacturing facilities in Dandenong where we make everything. So it's all pretty much following the same, way that we made them back all those years ago in the kitchen, but just on a much bigger scale.
Fantastic. And so you started with soaps, and is your product range, if we fast forward to today, what's in your product range today? What can people expect?
Yeah, so still our products are our good old solid soap bars. And it's funny because a lot of the soaps that we were making back all of those years ago in the kitchen are still there today. So things like, Absolute Avocado, which uses avocado oil in the soap, pink clay soap. But what has become our most popular range are what we call soaps that replace plastic bottles around the household. And I suppose everyone's so much more conscious about the packaging that their products come in. So we offer a range of shampoo bars, conditioner bars, dish and laundry soap, shaving soap. You can even get a dog shampoo. And they've just become very, very popular. And then on top of that, gift packs that have been incredibly popular, really highlighting some of the really beautiful Australian ingredients that we use in our soaps. And we've just relaunched our liquid soap range, which again just uses the same principles, but in a liquid form, and we've got them in the sustainable packaging of glass and a bamboo rim. So that's our range.
Fantastic. And obviously, yes, it's very important to have it natural, palm oil free. So do you have specific company motto or values?
Yeah, so the one that always keeps coming up is good for the skin, great for the planet. And I think that really captures, the two things that we really want to be bringing with our products. And the first is, we really do believe that Australian ingredients are some of the best, Australian plant oils and essential oils are some of the best things you could be using on your skin, hands down. And, we just love the idea that through our soaps we're able to bring and highlight these really beautiful ingredients. You don't need to be using the expensive stuff on the shelf been made in a laboratory. Really what we're bringing to consumers are these beautiful natural soaps that are using oils that have been grown by Australian farmers. So there's that side of the business, but then also the fact that what we've really been able to also offer is some really fabulous plastic-free alternatives, and really reduce the plastic waste that households have. We were asked actually the other day about how many bottles we think we've saved from going from landfill, and it's incredible because we came up with a number of 1.3 million plastic bottles.
Really?
It's incredible to think about. Yeah.
And that's fantastic, obviously. Isn't it?
Yeah. And it's just that simple step of people, instead of reaching for the plastic bottle, just reaching for one of our soaps. So yeah, that's definitely what keeps us going, and we just love that we've been able to create a business out of it.
Oh, that's wonderful, because I think sometimes you think, these tiny little choices doesn't make any difference, but I guess 1.3 million is a pretty significant amount of bottles in the land that aren't there because
Absolutely.
Of you. That's wonderful. So was there anything, if you go back to those early days then with you and Anthony in the kitchen and experimenting with all these ingredients that were more natural and less irritating on the skin, was there anything that was particularly challenging for you in achieving what you wanted to achieve with your products?
Yeah, I think what we were doing in those early stages was just using ingredients that weren't commonly used, some that weren't being used at all in soap making at that time. We'd we'd asked around. There were people that were telling us that there's no way you could make a soap bar if you didn't use palm oil, which I was like, that's not possible. How? Like, you know, so I think there was a lot of experimentation. And actually, I look so fondly back at that time of just I'd get on the internet and just hunt around for all these oils. And then Anthony and I would just sort of, you know, get in the kitchen and just start you know, putting things together. And I suppose he has that chemistry background. Yeah, exactly. So he's always been the one that's been able to go, okay, well, if we do this and this and this, it should work. And so I suppose it was just that initial period of just trying to make our products work and really force the ingredients that we wanted in our products to work. And thankfully they did. Yeah.
That's fantastic. What is it about palm oil that people are saying? I mean, I guess I'm from a background, I don't understand all the ingredients that go into these things. Yeah. I know palm oil is a big thing people use and or in the past has been used but is not used for good reason anymore as much. But what is it about palm oil as an ingredient that people were saying you have to have it?
Yeah, so I mean, basically with palm oil, it's been used commonly. I think there's a stat, and this is going back a few years ago, so it may have changed, but 6 out of 10 products that are on your grocery shelves will contain palm oil. And that's shocking for a lot of people because I think, you know, when you look at the ingredients, you don't see palm oil often listed. Instead, it's listed as vegetable oil or, you know, something else. And
sorry, Emma, what was that? What is it listed as?
As vegetable oil. Or you can go on and do some Googling and you just find there's pretty much hundreds of different ways you can refer to palm oil in ingredients. The thing for us, and I suppose I, you know, quite a while ago, I went to Indonesia as an exchange student and, you know, have a really close connection with Indonesia and have gone up to Borneo and seen the devastation. So, you know, palm oil has been responsible. The industry has been responsible for a lot of deforestation. You know, like we partner with the Orangutan Project and have raised quite a bit of money for them and have listened to Leif Cox, their founder, talk a lot about it. And it's just frightening to think about how much of these beautiful forests and these, you know, important forests to, I suppose, you know, the climate, to habitat, to everything, how much it's been destroyed. And I, you know, I do think a lot of it has to do with the palm oil. It has been the cheaper oil that's been on offer. It's been easy, you know, to use. And, but I think, you know, for us, we really were adamant that we needed to try and find alternatives. And so, you know, just to give perspective, I think, you know, one of our, I suppose, what can I say, cheaper oils that we use is olive oil, and that's probably about, you know, 10, 15 times more expensive than palm oil, to use in the ingredients. So, but, you know, I think there has been a lot more awareness around it, and so it's great. And we took that extra step of making sure that our products are certified through the Orangutan Alliance. You know, just to so people can safely say that, you know, when they buy our products that they are palm oil free.
That's fantastic. And I think that does mean a lot to a lot of people to see that because you really are living your brand there like that. It's really great. Okay, so you're on the kitchen table. You were in experimenting, having a good time experimenting with all these ingredients. Do you remember your early successes where you went, wow, this is actually something we can make and we can make? You know, did other people start asking for it, or how did it merge from your kitchen table to the business you have today?
Yeah, so I think, you know, there was always the element of we had friends and family who were like, oh, have you got some soap around? Can I take some soap? Like, you know, in those early days we were giving them to friends and family. And it was getting to the point where people were like, you know, I should really pay you for this soap. So we thought, there must be something here. And... yeah, I then suppose what now I think of was quite naive of me was it was, you know, the lead up to Christmas in 2013, and I just thought, you know what, I'm going to just set up a pop-up shop and just start selling the soap, and you know, it's only going to be for 2 months. So if it all falls flat in its face, then at least I have an out. And so I think that experience really, allowed me to understand, you know, why people were buying our soaps, and we were able to learn a lot through those 2 months as a pop-up in Prahran.
Oh, in Prahran, that's a good spot.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And then, great. So then you had your pop-up shop. Were you working at this time or?
So I was quite fortunate. I had a few careers before I started the soap company. So I at the time was actually working as a speechwriter in Canberra for the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.
Wow.
So it is a bit of a career change, and I had been a journalist previously to that. And it was a time where they were doing a bit of restructuring, and there were some redundancies going around, and I just thought, you know what, I can back myself and think, you know, if this doesn't work in sort of, you know, give myself sort of like a time frame and say, if this doesn't work in 6 months, I know I'll be able to get another job in media and communications.
Yeah.
I was fortunate that I did have that little push to make me, start working full time on my business. And, that's now what, seven, 8 years ago now.
Yes.
So, and I haven't gone back. So thankfully.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's worked. Yeah.
So you had a great Christmas. The pop-up shop obviously went really well. And then January 2014, you decided, okay, this is a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So we after that, we looked around, we'd started doing a few markets, and we were lucky enough that we were offered a spot at South Melbourne Market to initially just have a pop-up there, but it's become a permanent stall, and actually we're still there. So, obviously it's had its difficulties with COVID, but we still do have that one shop front there. But I think, you know, I'd had this naive ambition of becoming sort of like the Lush of Australia, but soon realizing that it costs a lot of money to set up shops. So
yes,
I think I got that sort of light bulb moment a little bit further down the track, where I was like, you know what, and we need to start looking at how we can wholesale our products. And I think from the very beginning, we had had people approach us to wholesale our products.
Mm.
That was actually quite a lot of work to be put into that, because when we had our shops, we were just making our soaps and putting them out. We didn't have any packaging or anything like that. So we really had to move into that next phase of, getting to the point where we could package our soaps and have them, shop ready.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, well, we're very grateful you did make that decision, because it means we get to stock them too.
Yes.
And your packaging is really beautiful. I think if anyone hasn't seen it, you should go and have a look.
Yeah, that was a really big exercise in itself, I think, because the brief with the packaging, people had been, you know, we still need to capture that rawness of our soaps and the naturalness of our soaps, but obviously we need to make them a lot more user friendly.
Yeah.
And I do think they've really nailed that. And it's really helped us grow our business through it.
They're very beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So you've talked about good for the skin, great for the planet. And you talked a little bit about sort of no plastic, I think, in your products. But I guess, can you talk a little bit more about the decisions you've made along the way? I guess packaging was one of them, because it's good for the planet if it has zero packaging.
Yeah.
But how did you decide sort of what materials, where you source them, like all that sort of thing, those decisions you made, to be good for the planet around the brand in general? What have you done around that?
Yeah, I mean, I think from... the beginning, we already had we had in place that we were always going to be sourcing most of our ingredients from Australia. You know, we only we still do have a few essential oils. Like there's a few essential oils that you just can't. They're not grown in Australia, so you do have to get them from overseas. But we'd really set it up that, you know, pretty much 90% of our products, our ingredients are coming from Australia. So I think what then just naturally happened was as we were growing, we were getting, we were needing to order a lot more, you know, from only ordering sort of 20 litres of olive oil. We were suddenly having to order tons and tons worth of olive oil. So we needed to find, you know, reliable producers and, you know, people that we could, you know, guarantee that we would, if we went to them and said, you know, we need 10 tons of this, that they wouldn't freak out and go, oh my God. So through that, we've been able to find a really good range of, you know, local producers really of the olive oil, you know, the farmers. And so that's been also a really great thing that has eventuated. And even with the olive oil, like the olive oil that we use is actually, it's beautiful olive oil, but it's olive oil that can't necessarily be sold as food grade just because maybe the colouring's a little bit different or the taste is a bit different, but it's perfectly, I mean, as with natural products, you're never going to get consistency. So that's a really beautiful thing that we are able to take that olive oil that once upon a time would have just been discarded and make it into a really beautiful soap. So, yeah, it's another thing where
how
it's
do you discard olive oil like that?
Exactly.
That on its own is a nightmare to think about, isn't it?
I know. So, yeah, it's just great that that then means that that's just another step towards sustainability. And so
that's fantastic.
So that's great. And I suppose as well, like, you know, like when we opened that first shop in Grant, we had a shampoo bar then, and you got to remember that was 2013. When, you know, people just looked at us like, what? Soap in your hair?
Crazy.
Why would you do that? And I think the whole concept in itself of just using bar soap even then was a little bit like, oh, why would you use that when you can use body wash? And so I think it's funny how, you know, I like to say that we predicted everything that was going to happen, but I think it was a lot of just chance that this was our passion. We love making our soaps, and it's really, we were there at a time when people, you know, a few years later were really looking at sustainability and packaging and trying to reduce that plastic waste. And we just had the products ready to go that people did, you know, that people wanted. So it's amazing to think that that shampoo bar that was like sort of at the back, right at the back of our shop, that pretty much people were just like, what, why are you selling that, has now become our number one bestseller.
Well, I think Heidi from Earth Greetings was saying a similar thing, that when she started, maybe a little bit before you, I think, but a bit earlier, but then all of a sudden it just took off because the awareness and people were really into this all of a sudden that you guys have been doing for ages. It's good that these things pay off, that are good for the planet. That's fantastic.
Absolutely. And I just, I love it. Like even with, like, we also offer soap flakes, which is like offcuts from our soaps. And again, that's a really great way for us to be able to make sure we lessen the waste that we have. But they've become, again, some of our most popular products. And if, for people who don't know how to use soap flakes, you know, you can pretty much use them as an alternative to washing your clothes, you know, washing your dishes. You can add hot water and they become like a cleaning paste. And we used to use these for years as just the way that we would clean, you know, our house and our clothes, and people used to look at us so weirdly. But now, again, like they've become some of our most popular products because I think,
Wow, I didn't know that.
Do recognize. I think people, it's like light bulb moment for some people. It's like when you look at that bottle, that plastic bottle of liquid, that's actually mostly water. So if you just take away the water, what are you going to get? You're going to get a solid soap. So I think, once people recognize that, then I think you can really recognize why it's so silly that we have these bottles in our bathrooms, in our kitchens, that are just
really
full of water.
It is kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm picking through the plastic in my home and, you know, thinking of...
Yeah. And that's what I had. Yep, that's what I had when I first started, making our soaps in the kitchen.
There you go. I'm only 8 years behind you. Better late than never.
Exactly.
Excellent. So can we talk a little bit about, for people who don't know, the listeners might be interested in the, not giving trade secrets away, but just you are using a lot of native Australian ingredients. You mentioned avocado and macadamia oil, but there's other ones like eucalyptus and lemon myrtle. Can you elaborate a bit on those?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was fundamentally what we wanted to do, was to bring, more Australian ingredients, essential oils and plant oils, to the point where people can recognise them. I mean, obviously lemon myrtle and eucalyptus, they're very, well-known ingredients. But there's a few that we're going to go further down that line of essential oils. I think people may not be aware of the fact that Australia does have a really fledgling essential oil industry, and there's been quite a bit of research and development into some of these incredible essential oils that really do have, rival some of the more well-known, the lavenders of this world, the lemongrasses of this world. We're really excited to be able to then, I think, take it to that next step and start really showcasing some of these really beautiful essential oils that are really, they're so Australian. You can't get more Australian than that.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I know I was into quite some years ago the Australian bushflower essences. There's a sort of brand that's got all these amazing native flower essences, being into native flowers.
Yeah.
And if you think about the diversity of native, flowers we have in Australia, it's not surprising these essential oils are so fantastic.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And rich in how many there are and how different they are, and they're all their amazing properties.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some of your other, I really love how you've taken your products and turned them into beautiful gift packs, like your Trip Around Australia pack. Mm-hmm. Popular now when we can't all necessarily travel when we want to, consider virtually travel through your soaps. Can you tell us a bit about what does a Bondi Breeze smell like?
Yeah, so it's funny how that all came about. So, Bondi Breeze is still, and Fitzroy Flavour as well, are our soaps that did come from the initial, product range that we had in that pop-up store in Paran. Going back to being in the kitchen with Anthony, we would just, also put together beautiful scent combinations of the essential oils and just put them into the soaps. And we were kind of like, well, how do we name that? We can't name it all the different essential oils. So we started just thinking about, let's start naming them after places in Australia. We are the Australian Natural Soap Company. So Bondi Breeze for us is just, it's got seaweed in it and it's got patchouli and ylang ylang essential oils. And so to me, and I'm not the only one to say this, we've got lots of customers who do agree that it does have that beautiful sea breeze scent to it. I love that one. It's not going to be for everyone. I think that's what you realise being in a company like ours, that everyone's got their individual tastes when it comes to scent. Yes. That's Bondi Breeze. With Fitzroy Flavour, that's got rose, geranium and grapefruit in it. Mm. And so it's actually a bit of a nod to when at that initial stage I was doing a lot of markets, as I said, and one of the markets was Rose Street Market. And so we've got the rose geranium as Rose Street. Yeah, but also it's just got that you can be walking up there in spring and it's just got that beautiful sort of floral scent to it. So, that's where Fitzroy Flavour came from.
Oh, lovely. And Naturally Noosa, what's that one?
Yeah, so that's actually somebody who was working for us at the time. She's like, you know, we'd always just put the call out to whoever we could, be like, we've got this new soap with all these scents and, you know, like, what would you call it? What's your favourite place in Australia? And the girl she smelt that one and she says, that's Noosa to me, with the ginger and the pine to it. So, so that's how Noosa came about.
I love it. So you sort of create the soap first and then the name, people say what it, you know, the sort of name comes after.
Yeah, pretty much that's how it's been. So
yeah, that's good.
And then when we were designing our gift packs, you know, we just said, you know what, this has got to be, we wanted to just experiment a little bit. And we're like, let's put these in a gift pack and see how they go. And yeah, the trip around Australia has been, it's one of our most popular packs. So
yeah, it's beautiful. And I know for us, we send a lot of gifts overseas. There's nothing better to get something like that than, you know, it's a gift that keeps on giving every day. They can get those smells in the shower or whatever.
Exactly.
You know, virtually traveling.
And that's what showering should be about, you know. We all do it. You've got to have just a beautiful soap in there to you know, just give you that few minutes where you can just take in those beautiful essential oils and start your day.
That's lovely. And we talked a little bit about this already, but I guess it's just specifically asking if there's anything else about customer behaviours changing over time. So you talked about your soap, your shampoo bars, sorry, that people are better educated now and probably buying them more. Is there any other changing attitudes you've seen over time, that certain popularity of certain products or changes in what you're bringing out?
Yeah, I think it is. I do think it is that whole idea of soap. And I think there was that initial, you know, when we started out, people were just like, why would you use bar soap? And I think that's a lot less, you know, of an issue for people these days. But I think, you know, also our liquid soap, we have just reintroduced it in the glass bottles. We did at one stage have it in plastic bottles, and it just never sat right with our brand and what we were trying to do. And we really wanted to get to that point where we could offer a sustainable option. And I think that, you know, the push was the fact that that's what our customers wanted. They loved our liquid soap. They're just like, I just can't buy it. It's in plastic. So I think that's awesome that we were given that push by our customer base to come up with more sustainable packaging.
That's good. It's good when customers tell you what they want, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It always comes through loud and clear, not necessarily how you want to hear it, but it's...
No. Oh, you've just got to take that feedback and run with
That's right.
It makes you a better company for it.
It does.
Yeah.
That's good. And they look beautiful. For those who don't know, there's like lemon myrtle face and body wash and eucalyptus face and body wash and avocado and macadamia.
Beautiful.
So I guess it's worth talking about, we're recording this in mid-July 2021, and I ask all my guests this, Emma, about COVID. So because COVID's obviously affecting different businesses in different ways, and you're in Melbourne and have had lockdowns and all sorts of things. What's the biggest challenge of what you've faced in the last
I mean, what is going on 18 months now? You know, I think all business owners, they know that time in March where just things just happen so quickly. For us, we had in 2019 really focused on trying to take our brand overseas, and we started doing trade shows in North America, and you know, our dog shampoo had won an award in America, and we'd signed a couple of distribution deals, and it just seemed like 2020 was going to be the year for us to just go internationally, which is what we want. You know, it was always kind of like where we wanted to go. We always saw the brand going overseas, and so then we signed one of those deals early March 2020, And
oh my gosh.
We had a week late in March where pretty much, our two sort of distributor deals fell over. Pretty much it was on hold. Wasn't that it fell over, but it was on hold. Yeah. We also had it was tens and thousands of dollars worth of purchase orders that were all ready to go to port to head over to North America just cancelled because the distribution centres over there in North America were closed, had just shut down. So I know that was quite heartbreaking. And at the same time, obviously, like our shops in Melbourne were shut down for what we thought was initially only going to be, a few weeks, but ended up really being, 6 months of the last year. And I think at that point it was just like, that's the end of our business, isn't it? Like how are we ever going to get out of that hole? But I think for us, what really saved us was at the same time, I think Australians as a whole were starting to look at like what they were using and the products that they were using and really starting to, if they hadn't done before, just more value the Australian made, products. And luckily us being in that soap space, we did have, it was our Australian customers that saved us really. So that was great. We just had to go to the back to basics and just really grow our online. Mm-hmm. And just really also go into our product development and just start really, introducing new product ranges that focused on the more Australian ingredients. It hasn't ended the last 6 months. Like, to be honest, have been tough, and I think we're not the only business to say that. I think it has. There's no way it's been a sprint. It's been a real marathon. But I think while there had. We've built a much better business, I think, through the experience. I think it's going to keep us, we will go further and grow better because we have had to deal with a pretty, pretty crazy period that could have ended quite badly, but we've been able to steer it in.
Kudos to you for making it through. And I guess at least you... Even though those orders didn't go to North America, at least I guess being shut down maybe in production, you had a supply, you had some supply there to sell.
Yeah, exactly. So, pretty much everything that we had ready to go was sold, domestically. So that's awesome. And the other thing too, so we were lucky enough at that stage to be awarded a government grant, a manufacturing grant. And that then allowed us to spend 2020 building this new manufacturing facility that we brought online January this year. And that was just a great experience, just being able to, up until then, we'd been using machines that were, off the shelf, but this allowed us to start, bringing online machines that were purpose-built, taking all those basic concepts that we had in the kitchen to cutting machines and soap manufacturing machines, and it was just awesome, actually.
Oh, wow. And
so we've been able to just really build our production levels a lot. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's good to hear these government grants going to good businesses like you and actually making a difference.
Yeah, it's a game changer for us. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And so I guess that's the biggest silver lining, out of COVID, is it? Would that say, the strength that you talked about being a stronger business and...
It is the silver lining. I do think, like, in many ways we were ready take our brand overseas. But I think, and a lot of product-based businesses, I think, have similar stories where you can't build your production until you've got the orders there, until you've got the demand. Yeah. And so you're always kind of like, you know, chasing your tail almost. So you're always just, trying to, like, there were stages where we were just, you know, working crazy hours just to get orders out, and it was all hands on deck. And, you never were able to have that time to really sit back and go, okay, so what's a better way to be manufacturing our soap? Because it's just like, no, we've just got to be filling orders and constantly.
Yes, yeah, we didn't have time to think about that now.
Now we feel like, you know, we've had that year. It wasn't really what we thought we'd be doing. But now, you know, now that we are getting to the point where we are hopefully going to get back on the trajectory of taking our brand overseas, that now we can confidently say we have production down pat. So
yes, that's good. I was going to say, us. We make those orders to North America a lot easier.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's great. Mm. And what's next for the Australian Natural Soap Company?
Yeah, so it's like I said, we always are like, product development is my most favourite part of the business. And, you know, over the last year, we have focused a lot on product development. So next month, we're very excited that we will be launching our Australian bush range, I'm so excited. We're like weeks away from it. And pretty much it's taking the Australianness of, you know, like what we're talking about, these essential oils that no one's ever heard of, really. You know, and using them in soap. So we're starting off with just three soaps that have, you know, beautiful ingredients like wattle seed, lemon myrtle leaf, sandalwood bark, and then using essential oils like rosalina, nerolina, kunzia, lemon iron bark. We're going to have those as the ingredients. And then we've also just partnered with Indigenous artist Daphne Marks from the Kunji artists up in Northern Territory. And we've been allowed to use some of her artwork on the packaging, which is just beautiful. So, and that's great as well, because then it just means that a percentage of every sale goes back to her. So yeah, we're very excited about launching that next month.
Oh, I'm excited too. I'm sure our listeners are getting excited. So as soon as that's out, we'll have to put them up and, you know, let people know. That's great.
Yeah. We really hope. We've always had that difficulty, I suppose, of being able to you know, use these essential oils that no one's ever heard of, and also make them popular enough for people to want to buy them. And so, yeah, we think by launching them as a range on their own and just being able to use, you know, the incredible artwork of Daphne Marks is just going to be, we're very excited about it.
Well, I'm really excited about it too, because I know there's a lot of people out there sort of jumping on the Australiana bandwagon. Which is great. Look, I think, you know, anyone, the more that we see and use and see visually images of our Australian natives, the better.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. It's nice to hear you doing it. You're very authentic, and you've done all your research into the essential oils and using our First Nations artists. It's just wonderful. I'm sure they'll be super popular, and we might see if we can't get them into some of our hampers for Christmas would be good.
Yes. I just can't wait to finally get it all together and be able to, send the
samples
out to everybody.
Please make sure we know when they're out, Emma. Please send me a note.
Yes, I will.
Let me know when I can get them.
Yeah, definitely.
So speaking of which, also our listeners want to know, so where can our listeners find out about more about you and more about your company?
Yeah, so we are, our website is theaustraliannaturalsoapcompany.com.au. Mm-hmm. If that's too long to type out, you can type theansc.com.au. Or Google the Australian Natural Soap Company and we'll come up. Our range is, stocked in many, many, many stores across Australia and online stores, including you guys, of course.
Fantastic. And I saw you in Maya now as well. That's really great, isn't it?
Yeah. It's awesome. So we've been there for about a year and a half, and in particular our gift packs are really, really popular through customers.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I recommend it, our listeners, if you haven't seen them already. The packaging is just stunning. The product's great. And they're a really good price point for gifts as well, I think, is what's special about them as well.
Yeah. Yeah. We've always tried to, to make them, competitive price-wise. And I think that then comes back to, I think there was always that, there is that perception that it's cheaper to make things overseas. But when it comes down to if you're sourcing all your ingredients from Australia, you are able to offer that competitiveness in price, I do think.
Yeah, and it's the product, isn't it? It's the unique qualities of Australian natives that you're bringing.
Absolutely.
Masses.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love it.
Yeah.
So before we wrap up, I'd like to do a quick fire round to get to know you personally better, if that's okay?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
So we've got five Australiana questions, just as a bit of fun. The first one being, what's your favourite Australian animal and why?
Yeah, the lyrebird. I know it's a bit of a, it's probably not what you usually get as an answer, but I suppose I'm a keen bushwalker and we go hiking a lot in Victoria. And I just remember being a child and seeing a lyrebird in the wild and just, you know, having that incredible moment of, they're just such rare birds to see, I think, in the wild these days. So lyrebird and just, they're just amazing creatures.
Yes. Yeah, it's a lyrebird that does your echoes.
Exactly. It can be a chainsaw, can be a cockatoo, can be everything. So, you know, and even when you, they're such shy animals. So even when you're walking and you can sometimes hear, if you're lucky enough, you can hear, you know, this strange kind of, you know, whether it's a chainsaw noise or something, and that's going to be the lyrebird. So you're not seeing them, but they're definitely there.
Yes. So for those who don't know, that's a lyrebird just mimics what it hears.
Yeah, exactly.
Bad, isn't that when you hear that?
I remember David Attenborough doing a whole piece on the lyrebird. He rated that as one of his most amazing animals on the whole.
Is that right?
As well. So I'm in good company.
Oh, that's good. You are. Cool. And Vegemite, yes or no?
Absolutely. But my husband's Canadian, so I have to put it in the corner and he will not touch it. And my daughter as well is taking on the Canadian side of things.
Oh, no.
He's not a fan of Vegemite either. So.
How disappointing.
I know, but it's always going to be in my cupboard.
What's the first Australian concert that you went to?
Yes. So I had to think long and hard about this one. Yes. So I would probably say, I'm not going to tell you the year because that'll show my age, but a big day out.
Yes.
And I think that's probably the best one to say because it covers off so many incredible Australian artists. I think Silverchair were there at the time and, you know, a few more. As well as the international gigs. So big day out.
That's pretty cool. Was it in Melbourne? Were you in Melbourne?
Melbourne Showgrounds. Yeah.
That's cool.
Saved my pocket money for a very long time I could buy my tickets.
Our last guest mentioned a big day out too.
Yes.
It's definitely a, what do you call it, a growing up experience in Australia.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it was one of the first occasions where I was allowed just to go with my friends and not have a chaperone.
Wow.
Which if only they knew at the time.
It's nice to have shared experiences like that. There's so much choice now. I wonder if our generation has that kind of, you know, this generation now, those shared experiences that you say that and it's like, oh, yeah, you know, everyone sort of thinks about what that meant for them.
Exactly. And hopefully we get to that stage again where we can have concerts like that.
Hopefully. Yeah. And hopefully soon.
Yes.
And then your favourite Australian biscuit?
Yes, Anzac biscuits for sure. My dad makes his own Anzac biscuits, and whenever we're there, my daughter is always, it's one of the first things she says. She's 2 years old, and she's like, Anzac biscuits. Like,
oh,
she knows.
That's lovely.
They're always going to be there for her. So,
definitely. Chewy or crunchy?
I actually like the chewy ones better. Mm. I find the crunchy ones are a little bit too hard on the teeth. Mm. But if they're the only ones that are available, of course I'll have the crunchy ones.
Yes. And then your next bucket list place to visit in Australia?
Yeah, so I have been quite fortunate because in a former life I was a journalist and I used to travel a lot around Australia as a video journalist. So
Wow. Pretty
much been to, and yeah, my husband also works as a remote doctor. So we've been to pretty much all of Australia. But I would love to get to the Torres Strait at some point.
Right.
It's the one place that I haven't been to. I remember just, you know, there would be stories on Thursday Island and I would just think that just looks like the sort of place that I would love to see. And I think, you know, I'd love to, yeah, learn a bit more about the history and the culture because, yeah, Torres Strait Islanders do have their unique culture and it needs to be celebrated. And it also looks like a tropical paradise.
Yes, and that.
Yes, exactly.
By the way.
Yes.
It's interesting your background with, you know, going around Australia and that you have this company now. It's obviously got into your bones.
I think so. And that's also why it's great to now start partnering with, Daphne and hopefully more Indigenous artists because I just remember going to some of these places, you know, APY Lands, Maningrida, and the art centres were just the, you know, the centre of these communities. And yeah, it's just I love the idea of, again, just being able to just to go back to those experiences and be able to support these communities.
Fantastic! What a great story. Well, thank you so much, Emma, for coming on the podcast today. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Thanks so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's great. I'm sure our listeners will love hearing your story. That's a wrap for another episode. I hope you enjoyed Emma's story and hearing about her beautiful products. If you'd like to learn more or want to get on board with reducing the plastic in your home, check out our show notes on our website that have all the links you'll need. Just go to istillcallaustraliahome.com and navigate to this episode 7 in the podcast section in the main menu bar. You may also want to like and subscribe to the I Still Call AustraliaHome.com podcast to hear more inspiring stories of Australian makers that you'll love. We also really appreciate any feedback, reviews or comments on who you'd like to hear on our channel. So please pop onto your favourite player and review or comment. In the meantime, I hope you stay safe and well wherever you roam.